The Lord Jesus Christ made it very clear that the world has not seen the last of the Queen of Sheba. There is coming a day when judgment will be passed, not only on the people who were in the world at the time that the Lord Jesus spoke these words, but also on all who have lived, or are living, or will have lived, when the day of judgment arrives. Sinners may escape justice in human tribunals. They may be able to take advantage of certain quirks in human law and evade the responsibility to bear the guilt and the punishment for their crimes. But the Lord Jesus Christ was drawing the attention of his hearers to the ultimate judgment. In human courts, those charged with the responsibility to prosecute accused criminals are always looking for ways to buttress their cases. They look for pieces of physical evidence that can tie the suspect to the scene of the crime or to the victims of the crime. Sometimes the evidence seems circumstantial at best, and that for which the prosecutor usually seeks most diligently is the existence of some person who may have heard or seen the crime being committed. Now, obviously, those who commit crimes, unless they are somewhat mentally disturbed, try to do so without anyone being aware that they are committing the crimes. They try to cloak their activities in secrecy so that no one can say, "I saw that person do that," so that they can never be convicted by a jury. But often, in spite of the criminal's best efforts, something unforeseen occurs, and someone who happens to be in the area at the time does hear something or see something unusual. And when the prosecutor learns that there is such a person, then interviews are held to find out the extent of the information and its reliability. And then the prosecutor builds the case very gradually, generally laying out all the physical evidence and building upon the supposition that the evidence ties the accused to the crime. And then, to clear any remaining doubt, the prosecutor calls the star witness to the stand. And that witness offers the testimony concerning that which the witness saw or heard. And sometimes that testimony becomes the clinching evidence. It is condemning indeed to have a witness say, "I saw that person, the defendant, commit the crime." Juries and judges usually have a hard time getting away from that kind of testimony. But even then, as we have seen, in human courts, judicial condemnation may be evaded. But the Lord Jesus Christ was making it plain here that such potential for errors in judgment will never afflict the final tribunal of human history. When people are brought before God's justice bar, they will be compelled to answer for their number one offense. They have not repented of their sins, not even at the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that imposing courtroom, the evidence will be incontrovertible. the book of life will be opened. And it will show the names of those who have repented. And it will not show the names of those who have not repented. Such evidence is weighty enough to warrant conviction and condemnation. But Jesus has told us there shall be witnesses produced on that occasion to give testimony. And one of the chief witnesses will be the Queen of Sheba, the Queen of the South, as the Lord Jesus called her. And her testimony, and the testimony of the men of Nineveh, who repented at the preaching of Jonah, that testimony will seal the verdict of the great judge. The reality of history is plain in this text. Right out of the life of Solomon, we get the certain assurance that Solomon was pointing the way to one greater than himself. And that the Queen of Sheba's reaction to King Solomon had eternal implications. For the Lord Jesus prophesied of the Queen of Sheba that she would be on hand to witness in the day of judgment. The Lord Jesus prophesied that there is a day coming when all the world will be called to account. And he urged his hearers to consider it carefully. All the people of history, can you imagine the scene, will be lined up to be judged out of the books. And just in case anyone should object to the application of that evidence, there will be people on hand to say they took advantage of their opportunities, even at great personal cost, and that there is no excuse for anyone to have refused Jesus Christ. And so the Queen of Sheba becomes a key figure, not only in the life of Solomon, but also in the ages to come. She is the one we may call witness for the prosecution. It is obvious here that Jesus, in his statement in the text, was testifying to the historical reality of Solomon's existence. That we ought to take note of. He was testifying to the majesty of Solomon's character and his reign. And it is obvious also in the text that Jesus wanted all who heard him to understand that Solomon, as great as he was, as glorious as he was, as wise as he was not as great as the God-man. There was a greater than Solomon speaking to them even then. The Lord Jesus Christ wanted to impress on all people then the importance of reacting properly to the word of the gospel. Look to the example of others who reacted properly to the words of much lesser figures, Jesus was saying. Think of your history, he's saying to them. The people of Nineveh. They repented of their sins when Jonah came and preached to them. Even though the prophet was not willing to go and deliver the message, and delivered it in the hope that it would fail. But such was the power of that message that the people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. And then he said, here I am, one who is greater than Jonah. Why do not all of the people repent? The question Jesus was asking was, will Nineveh repent at the preaching of Jonah? And you will not repent at the preaching of Jesus Christ, who is so much greater than Jonah? Consider the Queen of Sheba. She came over such a great distance so that she could hear for herself the extent of Solomon's wisdom. And she was humbled. She went away, as we have seen, a changed person. And we learn in our text that she will be a chief witness at the judgment. She traveled a great distance to hear Solomon, but there are people today and in the day of Jesus who had him right before them. They didn't even have to cross the street to hear him, and they would not believe. There are people today who wouldn't go across the street to hear of Jesus Christ. They might travel halfway around the world to attend some debauched rock concert if a certain performer was performing. Or they couldn't wait to be there. But say, hey, will you go across the street and hear a gospel sermon? Not on your life. They couldn't be bothered. And yet the Queen of Sheba went from the ends of the earth to hear Solomon. Well, those people will hear from the Queen of Sheba in the day of judgment. She will declare she was prepared to travel a great distance. She was prepared to humble herself in the presence of the great King of Israel. And she will not make any allowance for those who will claim they did not understand. She will say, how could you not understand? And from her, Jesus said, will come the word of condemnation. Will you hear it? The word of our text is a powerful warning to sinners not to come to that day of judgment where the testimony of the Queen of Sheba will be given against them. When she condemns people for not repenting of their sins, they will find there is no way to appeal that judgment. A greater than Solomon has come. That's the message of our text. Be sure that you believe on him. This text also reminds those who have repented at the preaching of Jesus Christ that they have not repented in vain. For there is coming a day of judgment. And those who trust in Christ will find that they are spared from condemnation. They will not be condemned. They will be among those who will be acquitted in the day of judgment. I want us this morning to consider four aspects of the testimony of this important witness for the prosecution. All of these aspects that we observe in the text. Let us notice, first of all, how far she came. Our text tells us, in the words of our Savior, that she came from the utmost parts of the earth. In the parallel passage in Matthew 12 and 42, the word uttermost is used. It translates the same expression in the original language. It is a word that has to do with the end. Something far, far away. It has to do with a great distance. That's the emphasis of the expression. The extremity, the limit of space. In other words, how far away was she? Well, in practical terms, she was as far as the end of the earth was concerned. We have already established that historically, she was probably from the region now known as Ethiopia, in eastern Africa. Jesus called her in this text, and again in Matthew 12:42, the Queen of the South. Now, you think of that. In her day, the challenges of travel were very great. To make a journey from eastern Africa all the way to Jerusalem was akin to coming from the end of the earth. Most people would never even dream of making such a trip. She had heard in her kingdom of the news of Solomon's great knowledge and great glory. And she was coming to Jerusalem to see if these reports were really so. We have suggested that she came with skepticism. She came to prove him with hard questions. She couldn't believe that such reports could be true. But still, she came. She wanted to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And she did not allow the distance at which she was from Solomon to be an obstacle for her. She could have pleaded that as an excuse, could she not? Well, I'm just too far away. I guess I'll never really know if this word is true. God gave her the ability, and she used it, even at great cost to herself, to travel across that distance. You think of the testimony of the Queen of Sheba, how far she came. And then think of the excuses that people give today, why they cannot come to the house of God. Well, you know, it's too far. If it's beyond walking distance, it's too far. And I think of stories I have heard of those who live in areas of the world where there are no cars available. Some people walk for hours just to get to the place where the people of God assemble. The Queen of Sheba said, it's a long way. But her desire to find out the truth was such that she wanted to make the journey. Jesus was making the point that the people to whom he was speaking did not have to travel anywhere near that far. He was right there before them. A greater than Solomon is here, he is saying to them. And yet, for many of them, they would not believe on Christ though he was standing literally right before them. In the very chapter from which this text is taken, we find, as we read, that the people challenged him. They said, oh, he casts out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. They were in the presence of Jesus of Nazareth, and they were witnessing the marvels of his miracle-working power, and still they would not believe. Still they would not repent. So Jesus said, in verse 23, if they were not with him, they were against him. That was a solemn statement. He is saying, look, you may pretend to yourselves that you can sit in some sort of neutral ground, but I'm telling you right now, if you are among those who are saying, he casts out devils by Beelzebub, you are against me. Now, it is this very idea, by the way, that President Bush has used in many of his comments concerning the war against terrorism. That is, he's saying, if you're not on the side of those who are seeking to stamp out the terrorists, then you are with the terrorists. Either you are on one side or the other. And oh, to hear the crying and the whining among people today, well, it's making the world too black and white. It's making the world too good and evil. And we all know that the world is so complicated. And there really are no absolutes. Well, I say, I'm thankful to God that God has answered prayer. That we have, at last, a leader in this country who understands that there is such a thing as good and that there is such a thing as evil. And whereas he may not understand all the ramifications of that, at least he is putting himself and his career on the line for it. Jesus was saying, look, here is the opportunity for you right now to repent. The Queen of Sheba came all that way to hear Solomon. Here's someone who's greater than Solomon. Why will you not repent? How far will you go to get to Jesus? We read elsewhere in the Gospels of people who were willing to break up the roof on a house to get their friend to Jesus. They saw the place was crowded, and others would have given up and said, well, you know, it's just too hard, too many difficulties. They went up and uncovered the roof and broke up the roof and let their friend down into the presence of Jesus. The Queen of Sheba is going to be a star witness in the judgment, and she will argue. On that occasion, she came a huge distance to hear Solomon. And there are many who have not been willing to go a much shorter distance to hear and to believe on Christ. You have a great privilege given to you. Have you availed yourself of it? Jesus has made himself known to you. But there's another aspect of this testimony of this witness that we must consider. What she heard. How far she came. Then what she heard. She came, Jesus said, to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And what was that wisdom that she came to hear? It was the wisdom that had been given to him by God. It was the wisdom, ultimately, that was a manifestation of Christ. The wisdom that taught, first of all, the importance of the fear of God. Turn back to Proverbs, to chapter 9. One of the famous statements of Solomon. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now that is an oft-quoted statement. But I don't think too many people really ponder what it means. Here was the wisdom that the Queen of Sheba heard, the fear of the Lord. How did Solomon get to be so wise? He feared God. The fear of the Lord, that reverential awe, that awareness of God's person, of the glorious attributes of his person, ought to make us to fear him. And we are told here, that's the beginning of wisdom. How can you be wise if you do not fear the Lord? And how can you have understanding if you do not know the Holy One? The knowledge of the Holy is understanding. Elsewhere, Solomon spoke of the fundamental nature of this requirement. If you turn to Ecclesiastes and to chapter 12, the last chapter, Ecclesiastes 12, and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. No doubt the Queen of Sheba heard something very much like that. Fear God. Keep His commandments. This is your duty. And along with that would come the message that the only way to obey that command is in and through the person of a substitute. Because we cannot keep God's commandments. We break them every day in thought, in word, and in deed. So it would be through the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon also had a very stern warning for those who would not hear this wisdom. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Here is the word of wisdom in verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. How long will this go on? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. And then here is the indictment of those who will appear at the judgment. Because I have called, and ye refused. There's the vaunted free will of the sinner. He uses it to refuse the call of the gospel. I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Because of those things, notice what the wisdom of God says. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Oh, here is the indictment to which the Queen of Sheba will herself be a star witness. She will stand up to say, I came to hear the wisdom. And then she will say, here are people who didn't have to travel very far, and they heard the wisdom, and they refused it. They despised it. She heard the wisdom that was the exposition of the gospel and the exposition of the person of Jesus Christ. The wisdom that taught only by the grace of God can salvation be secure. What about the people to whom Jesus was speaking? What had they heard? They heard the gospel from His very lips. They heard the words of the gospel. In Mark chapter 1, we read that He preached unto them that they should repent and believe the gospel. That's what they had heard from Jesus. And still, in this very passage, there were many who despised Him, who rejected Him. What have you heard? There are people today who have heard the gospel, and they have heard the gospel, and they have heard the gospel. They have heard the story of the crucifixion and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. They've heard it over and over again, and still there is doubt in their mind. Jesus is saying the Queen of Sheba is going to rise up. And she's going to say, I went and heard the wisdom of Solomon. And that brings us to the third thing in her testimony, how she responded. We noted in our study in 1 Kings chapter 10, in the first part of the chapter, that the Queen of Sheba came to Jerusalem in a much different spirit than she had when she left. If you look back at 1 Kings chapter 10, you'll be reminded of what she said in verse 6 when she had seen all these things. She said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom, albeit I believe not the words, until I came and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. She was humble. She said, I couldn't have imagined it. None of the descriptions was adequate. The half had not been told her. And she praised the Lord for doing such great things. That is, she not only heard the word from Solomon, she kept the word. And in the immediate context, as he was speaking, we read in verse 27 in Luke 11 that a certain woman, overcome by emotion perhaps, but she spoke up and she said, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps that thou hast sucked. And he replied immediately, Yea, rather blessed are they. Here's the blessing. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. It's not just hearing the word. It's the keeping of the word. It's the taking of the word into the heart. It's the observing of the word. That's how she responded. The word of the Lord Jesus was that there were many in his generation, in that generation when he was in walking in the world, who would not respond humbly, even though they were hearing the preaching of one who is greater than Solomon. And that experience has been repeated again and again down through the centuries since that time. There are people who have heard the very words of Christ, and they would not repent. The greatest possible opportunity, and despise it. As surely as they reject Christ. We read in John's Gospel, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Have you responded to Him by faith? Have you received Christ today? As he is offered in the gospel? That is how the Queen of Sheba responded. But if you do not respond in that way, there is a final aspect of the testimony of this witness for the prosecution. What she will say. Here's the scene that the Lord Jesus is painting for us. It is the final day. It is the day of judgment. And all of these unbelievers are lined up there. And they're hearing the word that their names are not found written in the book of life. Of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. They're hearing that verdict. And then the Queen of Sheba rises up. And Jesus said, she will condemn them. It's a very strong expression, this word of condemnation. It speaks of irrevocable judgment, judgment from which there is no appeal. Jesus is saying to the people of his generation, if you do not believe on me, at the day of judgment, the Queen of Sheba is going to rise up and she will call for your condemnation. She will condemn you because she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and you have refused to hear the one who is greater than Solomon. You see, the Lord Jesus was saying, you don't have to go any great distance to hear Him. Really, when you look at the gospel, all of the obstacles are removed. There are no obstacles now. You can come to Christ. But if you do not, if you do not repent of your sins, if you do not trust on Him, then the Queen of Sheba will say, that person is condemned. You see, the Queen of Sheba is going to be there not because of her journey and not because she had some innate grasp of that which Solomon was describing. She's going to be there by grace. She's going to be there through faith. She's going to be there on the ground of the blood of Jesus Christ shed for her sins. So the Lord Jesus is saying, these people who are criticizing Him and saying, well, He casts out devils through Beelzebub, all they're demonstrating is they don't know the great opportunity they've been given. And they will not know it until the day comes when the Queen of Sheba said, you had a great chance, you had a great opportunity, and you refused it, you despised it. It is a powerful message then, not only to sinners, but to believers. God has done a great thing in bringing you to hear the wisdom of Christ. It would appear the least we can do is to trust in that which we have heard. To pray. As we begin a week of prayer, to pray that the word that we would speak to others concerning Christ would be so used by the Holy Spirit that their stubborn wills would be broken down. And that they, too, would come to hear the wisdom of Christ. Let us learn the secret of wisdom. It is the fear of God. And let us learn that the Queen of Sheba will yet have something to say in the history of the world.